And you're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. It's that time of year again. Time to apply for your permanent fund dividend. Applications for the 2025 PFD opened on New Year's Day and will stay open until March 31st. It's not yet clear how much each Alaskan will receive from the state's annual oil wealth payment. The legislature and Governor Mike Dunleavy will set the amount during the upcoming legislative session. Dunleavy's budget proposal would pay roughly $3,900 to each Alaskan, but that's unlikely to make it through the legislature. It would require drawing more than $1.5 billion from the state's main non-permanent fund savings account, or more than half of the current balance. Dunleavy's proposal is based on a formula in state law that hasn't been used in a decade. If lawmakers use the informal formula they've used in recent years, PFD checks would be closer to about $1,400. Last year's dividend, including a one-time energy relief payment, was about $1,700. There are a variety of criteria to be eligible for the PFD, but the biggest two are these. You must have been an Alaska resident for all of 2024 and intend to remain a resident indefinitely. Payments are typically distributed in October. Applications are available online at mypfd.alaska.gov. Paper applications are also available at Permanent Fund Division offices or at a variety of state and local government offices. And Ketchikan has a new police chief. The city announced that Deputy Chief Eric Mattson had stepped into the role earlier last month. Mattson had been the city's acting police chief since his predecessor, Jeffrey Walls, retired from the department after facing accusations of misdemeanor assault. Mattson has served in the Ketchikan Police Department for the last 20 years. And this is KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. The closures of child care centers and a worker shortage have left Juneau parents with few options for affordable and reliable care for their kids. But a new report by a state child care task force proposes dozens of recommendations aimed at expanding child care options statewide. City and Borough of Juneau Deputy City Manager Robert Barr is a member of the task force. He sat down with KTOO's Clarice Larson this afternoon to discuss the task force's findings and what role the city can play in making them a reality.
How would you describe the state of child care in Juneau, you know, and across Alaska right now?
I would say that it's relatively tenuous, to use a word to describe child care. I think Juneau, we're in a better place than most of the state is because we've been subsidizing and participating in the child care sector using local dollars in a real meaningful way for a handful of years now. That same trend hasn't been happening across the state.
Yeah, and what kind of impact does this have on Juneau's economy, you know, when people can't find reliable care for their kids?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, right? There's a lot of study out there. There's a lot of research that shows that when a parent of a child doesn't have a place, a safe, high quality, good place for their child to be when they're at work, then they're not going to work. And solving that problem is a priority of, you know, many, many political bodies and many, many business interests, because it's really become evident and there's a lot of consensus right now kind of across the spectrum, whatever spectrum you care, right, the political spectrum, the business spectrum, that this is a problem that is really worth solving for a variety of reasons, economic being primary among them.
What would you say are the biggest barriers for child care providers right now?
So there are many, but the single biggest barrier is money. So, you know, we as a society don't fund in a public way child care from 0 to 5 very well at all. Like when you look at statistics of how many public dollars in the United States go to childcare and compare that to other developed nations, we're generally at the bottom of those lists. And the business model of childcare just bluntly doesn't work without significant public subsidy. You know, we heavily subsidize K-12 education, but expect parents to bear the burden for all of 0 to 5 care. And that just doesn't work from a business plan perspective.
Yeah. And so part of this task force, you were trying to find solutions. And so highlight some of the recommendations that you guys came up with and I guess from your perspective, which ones really stood out to you?
You know, there are many. There's over 50, I think, total recommendations that we made. And all of them matter. All of them can make a difference. But the biggest ones that I highlight is the necessity of creating a sustainable, publicly funded wage subsidy for licensed child cares, both in-home cares and, you know, center-based care that supports a living wage. So, you know, people who work in child care, those are super important jobs. And our child care workforce really isn't going to get where it needs to be until our centers and our providers can afford to pay people enough money to live on.
And so what role does the city and borough of Juneau, and for that matter, the Juneau Assembly, play in helping to solve the child care shortage locally?
Locally, we subsidize child care in a couple of different ways. So we have a couple of stipend-based programs, and we provide a monthly stipend directly to child care providers to help address that living wage issue and you know, the recruitment and retention issues that child care centers have.
You know, all of these recommendations have, you know, a lot of big ambitions, but walk me through what next steps need to happen to get these recommendations to become a reality.
So a lot of the recommendations are things that the state can do right now and that the state already has started working on in a lot of instances. Really, the big one is the money piece, right? That's really the key missing ingredient to really solving this problem, both at a local and a statewide and, frankly, a national level, until we can get enough funding in the system to enable good, decent pay. That's really the big element that we need.
Yeah, and just, you know, do these recommendations give you hope for the future of Juneau and, you know, solving this problem and hopefully the coming years?
Yeah, they totally do. There really is sort of a bipartisan consensus and a consensus in, you know, both the childcare sector and the business community that this is a problem worth solving for a wide variety of reasons. And so I think, you know, now is a good time to be talking about solving this problem because, you know, we're largely coming from the same perspective.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming in today and chatting with me.
Thanks for having me.
That was Juneau's Deputy City Manager, Robert Barr, speaking with KTOO's Clarice Larson. And a 20-year-old man went missing from Fairbanks in early December. His loved ones are searching for answers. Shelby Herbert reports for KUAC.
A crowd of people are carrying signs and singing as they leave the Fairbanks Native Movement Center, a nonprofit organization focused on community education and social justice advocacy. As the group heads deeper into downtown, the wind picks up, blowing bits of snow into everybody's faces. It's 3 days before Christmas. Sandy Koyakuk is Devin Standifer's grandmother. She says her family and friends are searching every day and night, hoping that every person they stop and talk to might be Standifer or have any idea where he is.
He's a missing person, and that's what we want to focus on. And we want to be positive. We want to bring him home. We're not focusing on anything else. His mom and dad are here. I have my mom, his great-grandma. She's driving on the road. He's like top 5 varsity basketball. He was number 22. And he's well-loved. He's Alaska Native. You know, right now we just need to hear from him.
Standifer has dark brown eyes and hair, is 6 feet tall, and weighs about 180 pounds. He was last seen leaving his aunt's house in Fairbanks on December 7th. A day earlier, Standifer was named a person of interest in a sexual assault case at the residence where he was last seen. Fairbanks police have since identified him as a suspect. He has not been charged with a crime and has no criminal record. Some at the march expressed doubt that local police were doing everything they could to find Standifer and to keep his family updated. Sky Summer Griffin, who helped organize the Justice March, says it feels like part of a larger pattern.
It's not just a Fairbanks problem, but it is a very big problem in Fairbanks. There are Native people going missing all the time.
Indigenous people across the United States are reported missing or are murdered at rates that are far higher than the national average. There are currently several open cases of Indigenous people who have gone missing from Fairbanks and the surrounding communities. Some of them have remained unsolved for years. Several members of Standifer's family don't feel supported by local police response. But Fairbanks Police Chief Ron Dupuy says there's a lot happening behind the scenes that the community can't necessarily see.
Just because, you know, we're not out knocking on doors or those sorts of things doesn't mean we're not working on the case. In this case in particular, you know, we have some pieces of clothing and cell phone and those sorts of things that we're running leads down on. The cases is a priority for us. All missing person cases become a priority.
Dupuy says it can be difficult to keep entire families informed about the progress of the search, but that the department is doing its best.
Obviously, you know, some families are quite large and everybody wants to know what's going on. And you can imagine if we have 20 people calling a detective trying to figure out what's going on with the case, it can get quite overwhelming. What we do is we have a point of contact with the family. Normally that's one or two people that our department will contact, and they're the point of contact for the family, that they distribute the information.
Sandy Koyakuk, Standifer's grandmother, is the Fairbanks Police Department's main point of contact for search updates. She confirmed that local police left her voicemails about the search for her grandson shortly after his disappearance. But as time passed, she says the updates dried up. Koyakuk said the Justice March for her missing grandson meant more than just sending a message to local law enforcement. To her, it meant keeping the community aware.
We're trying to make sure they hear us, you know, because we're Devin's voice now. He's not here to protect himself, to speak up, you know.
Temperatures are plunging in Fairbanks, but the community search effort is not. Standifer's family is hosting weekly community meals at the Native Movement Center to keep Fairbanksans aware of his disappearance. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, we're expecting a lot of snow this weekend. This is KTOO.